Hello and shalom. Welcome to this episode of Image Bearers Radio. I'm your host, Joe Amon. We got a great show ahead, so buckle up and hang on. Here we go. Well, hey, everybody. Shalom, shalom, and welcome to this episode of Image Bearers Radio. I am your host, Joe Amon, coming to you all the way from what has just in the last couple of hours, which is now Sunday. I'm recording this at 5-ish Central Time. We are now the stay-at-home ordered Louisiana. Southwest Louisiana is where I'm coming from. So I know many of you in many other states listening right now are probably in the same position or will be very shortly. And so, hey, we're all together. And so it's all good. Hey, welcome to Image Bearers Radio this week here on Hebrew Nation Radio. I am really, really excited to be able to talk to everyone and to connect over this this great ministry and this great medium. And I want to just say a quick hello and welcome to anyone who's maybe listening to us for the first time. Maybe you're at home with a little more time on your hands than you have usually, and you usually maybe don't get to take in all the great information, teachers, news updates, ministries, and all the things that are available on Hebrew Nation Online. So I'm glad that you stumbled upon Image Bearers Radio. I hope that you enjoy your time with us here. For those of you that don't know, my name is Joe Amon. Like I said, I am pastor of Out of Ashes Ministries in DeRidder, Louisiana, and we are a Yeshua-centered, Torah-pursuant group of folks that love each other, love community, and we have a great curiosity and love for God, and so we're walking our relationship with God out as we follow Messiah together in community and learning the Torah and learning of God's beautiful word. So it's a great, great fellowship. We have a website, outofashesministries.org. We also are on Facebook and YouTube. We have a free mobile app you can download either through Apple or Android, the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. And we are also on iTunes. And so if you would like to connect with us, please, please do. We'd love to hear from you. We live stream our Shabbat services every Shabbat at 10 a.m. Central Time. And so pop on and say, hey, Shabbat Shalom, I'm coming to you from wherever. We'd love to hear from you guys and hear where you're from and just see how you're doing. And we'd love to wish you a Shabbat Shalom as well. For those of you that have continued to listen and have been with us for a few weeks, thank you so much for coming back. And I love hearing the comments and getting the feedback and all the things that you guys appreciate what we're doing and discussions that we're having. Today is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to, I love continuity and I love being able to kind of stay on track and tie episodes together because for my mind, that's makes sense, to be able to kind of, you know, stretch a theme along several shows and keep a continuity there. But today we're going to kind of break with that, because I want to give some thoughts. My opinion is really all it is. My 2 cents, or like my good friend Mike Clayton says, my 2 shekels on the whole COVID-19 thing. Not on the virus specifically, or actually not on the virus at all, because that's, I think, kind of neither here nor there, but just on kind of the environment, the state of affairs that the world finds itself in, and where do I believe the kingdom of God should be situated in our mindset and how we're thinking about this thing. So I want to do that. So welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us. As we usually do, let's just go to the Father in prayer before we dive in and just ask his blessings and ask him more than anything to open our minds and open our hearts. So, Father in heaven, Avinu Shebashamayim, Avinu Malkinu, our Father and our King, Father, we come to you as one body, as one kingdom, B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, B'nai Elohim, the children of God. And Father, we look to you as our source. We look to you as our source of strength and peace and hope. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunities like Hebrew Nation Radio to come together from all across the country, maybe even all across the world, to come together and to be your body here in the earth. Father, I pray and I seek that as we talk about what is going on in our lives today, in our culture today, that you would open our eyes, that we would see, as Psalm 119:18 says, the wonderful hidden things in your Torah, Father, that teaches us and instructs us in how to be your children, how to be your representatives here on the earth. Father, I pray that we grow into the image of Messiah, the image that we were created to be in Genesis 2, Father, in Genesis 1 and 2, the created in the image of God. And Father, I pray that you would teach us by your Spirit how to look like you, walk like you, talk like you, act like you, to touch like you do, Father, to serve like you do, provide, to bring order into chaos like you do, Father, that we would represent you well here on this earth. I bless you for every person watching. We pray for those that are physically affected by COVID-19, that you would heal, Father, and that you would touch, that you would cause symptoms to be low, that you would save life, Father, that you would salvage life through this thing. Those who are being impacted financially, schedules, life is just turned upside down. Father, we pray for complete and total shalom, which is peace and wholeness and wellness and completeness, Father. I pray that you would put in your children a sense of calm and confidence in you. And Father, as we discuss these things today, I pray again that you'd open our minds and hearts to what your word would try to tell us, what your Spirit would try to teach us. And Father, we will bless you through Yeshua, our Messiah, the one that you sent to ransom us and to redeem us from the bondages of sin, as we could live a life in freedom to you, Father. We bless you and we thank you for your name's sake. Amen and amen. Well, thank you guys, as always, for spending just a moment in prayer as we prepare our hearts, kind of what we're going to talk about. So ever since this thing kind of broke open 2 weeks ago, I guess it is now, I have had one question ringing in my head that I cannot get out. And I know that many of you feel the same way. I've talked to many people, kingdom-minded people, you know, believers that have sort of the same idea and the same feeling, is that we're really not freaked out, which I think is a huge blessing. More and more believers that I talk to, everybody's like, no, we're good. We're not freaked out. We're not nervous. We're confident. Everything's good. And this is not just Torah people. This is, you know, believers, all different denominations and Protestant, Catholic, all around. People of faith, I think, are really finding their grounding in this time. And I think that's awesome and beautiful. And as we're going to talk about, I think that's kind of one of the things that we as the people of God are supposed to get out of this whole thing. So I'm really thankful for that. But I've had this one question that is ringing in my head as I lay down and go to sleep, or try to go to sleep. First thing when I wake up in the morning, as I go through the day and try to listen as a pastor and leader to the updates and what the leaders and the officials and the experts are saying, and try to keep up with all of that. There's one major question that continues to beat around in my head. And that question is, what do we learn from this? What are we supposed to learn from this, Father? What are we supposed to be getting as your kingdom people, as the people on this earth that you have charged to represent you? What are we supposed to be learning from this? And if you have any interest, if you have some extra time, like I said, please go back and check out our last couple of Shabbat episodes. They're archived on YouTube. You can find us there at Out of Ashes Ministries. You'll see that a week before last, I addressed this, and then last week kind of did a follow up, which is what some of the things I want to share with you today. But really, I'm learning that we're not ready. For all of the obsession and all of the conferences and the classes and the series and the sermons and the teachings and the research and all of the things, we are so obsessed with end time prophecy, with the book of Revelation, with all of these things. We're so obsessed with the end times. And yet, folks, we are simply not ready. If COVID-19 and this, the whole thing that has sprung out of this virus, if that has showed us anything, is that the kingdom people need to do some work. I really, like I said before, I think more and more people are coming to terms with it, and that's awesome, and that's a huge blessing. And I say Baruch Hashem, bless God for that. But folks, physically, many of us are not ready. We're not ready. we don't have a 3 to 6 months of cash on hand if we need it. Nevertheless, I mean, a couple of weeks, most of us live literally month to month, paycheck to paycheck. And I know that this is, you know, for some of you or some of us, I'll include myself in this. It's 3 to 6 months. That's insane. And listen, let me just preface this by saying that I'm not at all. I'm the furthest thing from a conspiracy type of person. I'm not bent that way. I don't think that way. But I don't think any of the things that we're going to talk about today have to do anything with conspiracy. I think they're just about using wisdom and being wise and being prepared. Have we become so dependent on agencies and governments and nonprofits and churches and synagogues that we have lost some independent stability, you know? And so I don't want this to be like a fear thing or a, you know, like I'm not wearing an aluminum foil hat right now. It's not any of that. It's just wisdom. So like physically, we're not ready. Many of us don't have, you know, enough cash to last us for the next few weeks. If, like in Louisiana and many other places, we're issued a stay-at-home order, all businesses, non-essential businesses are shut down. Do you have enough money to run to the store when you need something? You know, food-wise, do we have, you know, 3 to 6 months of food storage? Many of you listening may be on a limited budget, and I understand that. Maybe you're retired, or you're a widower, or you're a single mom that's struggling just to barely make ends meet. I understand all those things, and so don't take this as a pressure. Like I'm not calling anybody out, you know, and saying you're doing bad because you're not prepared in these ways. These are just things to think about. You know, food. Do you have food? Do you have long-term food storage? And something that could really, you know, step in whenever you can't run to the store or if the restaurants are not operable. I mean, all these kinds of things. Listen, none of us ever thought we'd be here. I mean, here in Louisiana, we face hurricanes, but you see this stuff coming, you know, sometimes 2-3 weeks away. And so we have the ability to prepare. And many people in our part of the country, they stay prepared because of the natural disasters. But we never saw something like this coming. And yet it has, in a sense, the same effect. I mean, why does toilet... I know this is the big, like, this is the million-dollar question, but why did toilet paper sell out day one? This is a respiratory disease. I don't understand why toilet paper, you know, but it's not that we prepare as kingdom people. It's not that we prepare for the things that happen. It's we're preparing for everyone else that is not prepared. And so, you know, physically... Are you prepared? Are we prepared as kingdom people? Because here's the bottom line. The reason why I'm asking these questions and why I've asked myself these questions and my wife and I have had to sit down and have some serious, you know, like, you know, come to Jesus meetings, so to speak, is because as kingdom people, it is not about us. Our existence is not about us. We are here to serve Hashem first, and to serve his people, creation, to serve humanity second. We are told in Genesis that humanity, all of humanity, not just believers, all of humanity was created in the Tselem Elohim, the image of God. And yet there is a subset of people out of humanity that were called to bear his name. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's what we're going to talk about today. That was called to bear his name. But how do we do that if we don't even have our own houses in order? And I could quote you, you know, half a dozen verses to that effect. I don't want to proof text any of this. I just want to just kind of ask us to think about this. How can we be a light to people around us in our neighborhood, next door neighbors, the elderly around us, the children around us, that some now are struggling to get even that one or two meals that they have a school a day? How are we able to reach out and be the image of God to those people and represent his name well if we are not prepared at, you know, first? So we have a lot of responsibility in this. Long-term food storage is not going to fall out of the sky. 3 to 6 months in savings is not going to fall out of the sky. God expects us to use wisdom in order to do this. And you may think, or some may say, well, you know, I just expect God to provide. And I do too, absolutely, because that's who he is. He's a provider. And yet, isn't it the wisdom of God that he has taught us and is teaching us that we need to be prepared? Isn't that the miracle of God? Isn't that the miracle and the wisdom of God? That not that we wait on him to provide, quote unquote, supernaturally, but that we would understand his character and understand who he's called us to be and our responsibility. And in that calling, we would realize that it is God's wisdom that we be prepared, that we have what we need, that our homes and our houses are in order so that when the time comes and those around us that need, hey, pandemic or not, what about every other day of a normal life cycle? What about every other day of the year when you find out someone who has a need or someone that doesn't have food or someone who's elderly who needs to be taken care of or a child that is not being fed regularly? Any other time just in normal everyday life, are we prepared enough to be able to represent him? So physically, we have some questions, some auditing to do. Emotionally, we're not ready emotionally. How many believers that I know love God, and this is not a judgmental thing. I want you to understand. I'm just asking these audit questions, and I think we all should do this. Emotionally, are we struck with fear? Are we struck with anxiety? For the first 2 weeks or so, all everybody on the news could talk about was the virus. Well, now experts are coming out and begin to talk about mental health in the midst of this virus. You know, are our stress levels way up? Are we anxious? Are we nervous? Are we worried? Are we ready emotionally? Are we ready mentally? Do we have a fortitude? Do you feel like giving up? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Do you have clarity mentally? Do you understand the message of Scripture to a point mentally where you know where you are, you know where you're supposed to be, and you have confidence in the Word of God mentally? Spiritually, are we ready spiritually? Like I said before, as obsessed as we are about the book of Revelation and end time and tribulation and how and when and what number of years and stars and all the beast and all these things, spiritually, are we ready? And what do I mean by, spiritually? It's something that's so hard to define in a lot of ways, but do we have the spiritual fortitude to understand our place, understand who we serve, and be ready to be activated in that service? Do we have a spiritual sense, a theological sense of who God is, how does he work, and then how does he cause his subset of people, his chosen called out people, to respond in his character and in his name? So those are just some of the things I've been asking myself lately, first starting with me. I'm not asking you guys to do and to ask questions that I haven't already asked, and that our fellowship and everyone that I talk to that I know are believers in Messiah, that to ask these questions and to really have this conversation, because there is and always will be a remnant in the earth. Now, whether you think that's, just you and your congregation or you and your family and nobody else is right, or whether you think it's a larger remnant, there's going to be a remnant that the Father will keep in the earth. And that remnant is going to be responsible at the end of time, or in these times, in crisis and critical times. The remnant are going to be the ones that are responsible for preserving a place for the presence of God and for the people of God. I love the as Genesis begins to wind down, the narrative of Genesis begins to wind down, we find ourselves with Joseph, right? And he's in one of the most emotional and dramatic scenes in all of Scripture. He is revealing himself to his brothers. And he says these words, which are just, they blow my mind every time I think about them. He says, "Don't be mad at yourself." I'm paraphrasing. "Don't be mad at yourself. You didn't do this, but God sent me before you." He says, don't be mad at yourself. This was God. God sent me through all this stuff before you. And then he says, to prepare a posterity, I think the King James says, most translations say a remnant. The Hebrew word is she'irit, to prepare you a remnant so that you can have a place in Egypt, a place called Goshen, to come to and to find rest and refuge and safety. And so the God will always have a remnant. But if that remnant, again, is not prepared, then there's nothing, that God has nothing to work with. He has no human partner to work with. So are we ready? What are we supposed to learn from this? We posted to our Facebook page, Out of Ashes Ministries Facebook page, a couple of videos by Michael Clayton. If you've listened to Hebrew Nation or you've been in the Torah walk for any amount of time, you'll know who Mike Clayton is. And we've posted a couple of videos from him and him just addressing kind of this issue. And I would really ask you to go on Mike's Vimeo page. He's got, go to Out of Ad, wherever you can find these videos and watch them, because they are wisdom and they are level-headed, cool-headed. I'm going to get excited. Right? I'm going to talk really fast. I'm going to raise my voice. Mike is so level and cool-headed and wise. And I would encourage you to go and check out his videos. But he took kind of the same idea from Haggai. And Haggai chapter 1, in chapter 1 of Haggai, this is about the rebuilding of the temple, of course. And we read, in this, we'll start, let's say start in verse 3. And it says, "The word of Adonai came to Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you and yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house," capital H, the Bait, "lays, the house of Adonai lays in ruins?" Verse 5, "But now, thus says Adonai Tzavaoth, the Lord of hosts, set your heart on your ways. Consider your ways." Tree of Life says, set your heart on your ways. Consider your ways. Verse 6 says, "You sowed much, but you bring in little. You eat, but you're never satisfied. You drink, but not enough to be filled. You put on clothes, but no one's warm. And whoever earns wages works for a bag full of holes." Again in verse 7, "Thus says Adonai Tzavaoth, set your heart on your ways." Ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, as I look around my life, I see a lot of those things in my own life. Eat but are never filled, drink but are never, never satisfied, work for a bag full of holes. I love that phrase because it's so true. This is talking about physical preparedness. This is talking about how are you doing? How are you doing physically? I want to ask this question, and there can be a lot of answers. There's one kind of way I want to look at it. What is the number one responsibility of someone who calls themselves a child of God, a follower of Yeshua? What is our number one responsibility? You may say, it's to love the Lord our God with all our heart and love our neighbors as ourselves. And I would agree with that. There can be a lot of right answers, maybe. There's one I really want to focus on. In Exodus chapter 28, verse 36, this is where Aaron's garments are being made, the priestly garments, the garments of the Kohen Gadol, are being made. And in verse 36 of Exodus 28, it says, "Also you are to make a plate of gold, of pure gold, and engrave on it, like the engravings of a seal, Kodesh La'Adonai, holy to Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, to Hashem." The priest was to carry the name of Adonai on his forehead. If we go back up a few verses, just about seven verses, in verse 29, it says again of Aaron, "He will bear the names of B'nai Israel in the breastplate of judgment on his heart whenever he enters the holy place as a continual memorial before Adonai." So Adonai bears or carries two different things on him as he traverses in and out of the tabernacle. So we've been talking about Genesis in our Genesis study about how, the high place, mountains and trees, are places where heaven and earth overlap. The tabernacle is the next innovation in this theme, and the tabernacle is the place where the divine comes down and humanity is elevated and heaven and earth meet. And so as Aaron goes into the heavens and comes back out to the physical world, that's the idea that we have, is that the heavens to the ancient biblical writers or to the ancients altogether is not someplace up in the sky. This is really, really important that you understand this, that what we think of as the heavens as invisible, cloudy kind of space place is not the idea of heaven in the ancient world. The idea of heaven is the mountaintop. It's the place where the God resides. So when a priest, of even a pagan priest, goes up to the temple of their God and enters the inner sanctum, that they have gone into heaven. They have ascended into heaven. And when they come back down, they are coming back down into the earth. So it's that traversing of the heavenly and the natural, the supernatural and the natural. And so Aaron is wearing the name of God on his forehead, and he is bearing the names of the children of Israel on his breastplate, representing the children of Israel to God and representing God to the children of Israel. We'll continue this discussion right after the break. We'll get into some commandments and some different things we need to look at. So we'll catch you on the other side. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the second segment of this episode of Image Bearers Radio. So we are going to go now to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to look at the 10 words or the 10 matters, the 10 commandments traditionally. And I have to say that I owe a lot of this thought process first to Hashem, because I've been wrestling with this idea for several years now, and I recently found a scholar who's actually done her doctoral dissertation and on this topic, and has written now a book for kind of just the average everyday, you know, lay person who's not a scholar. her name is Carmen Imes, Dr. Carmen Imes, and she's written a book called Bearing God's Name: Why Sinai Still Matters. A phenomenal book. If you've got some time on your hands, go on Amazon and order the book by Carmen Imes, I-M-E-S, called Bearing God's Name: Why Sinai Still Matters. In Exodus chapter 20, we're in verse 1, it says, "And then Elohim spoke these words, saying, I am Adonai, your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Do not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth below, or in water underneath the earth, to bow down to them. Do not let anyone make you serve them, for I, Adonai your God, am a jealous God, bringing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to the thousands of generations of those who love me and keep my mitzvot." And then possibly the most overlooked, misunderstood matter out of the 10 matters. Verse 7, "You must not take the name of Adonai your Elohim in vain, for Adonai will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." So probably one of the most overlooked, or at least one of the most, or maybe the most misunderstood of the 10 matters, of the 10 commandments. So think about how you think about this verse, how you think about this commandment, and then think about how it's kind of traditionally been interpreted. I think Dr. Imes has recorded 23 different major interpretations of this commandment throughout the ages, right? Since, you know, throughout the last couple thousand years. And they cross congregational lines, denominational lines, cultural lines. And I would say for the South, those of us here in the South, what I have always kind of been taught this verse meant, and what it's portrayed as, is don't cuss, right? Good old-fashioned cussing. Don't use God's name in the form of a curse. Now, probably the other most popular way this commandment has been interpreted and taught is not to take a vow in God's name. And so what do those things do? What do they communicate? How do we think about those things? I did not spend a long time in the whole name debate. As those of you who come into Torah understand, one of the first things you come across is the name debate. The calendar is another one. Depending on which circles you are learning in, the shape of the earth may be another one. But, you know, kosher eating, all these things are big matters of debate. And I did not spend a whole lot of time in the name debate. I understand the logic and the research behind every major pronunciation that we uphold. I have a particular way that I believe the name is pronounced for me. I don't believe everybody else, you know, I don't know it, everybody else, how they should pronounce the name or if they should or whatever, but, I have the Lord has dealt with me about a particular way, and that's what I do. It's not anybody's business. It's between me and him, and that's my attitude towards it. That's why I say Adonai, Hashem, the Lord, whatever. We all know that he has a name. I'm just not going to be involved in division and strife and arguing over the pronunciation of the name, because the name of the Lord is not about four letters, ladies and gentlemen. Now, some of you just got mad and turned me off, but that's okay. If you turn me off, for those of you who are still listening, they're gone. Now we can talk sensibly. The name of God, the name, whether you pronounce it Yahweh, Yahovah, Yahuwah, however you pronounce the name of God, is not about a pronunciation. Because, and I'm, excuse me for getting a little excited here, but this is the deal. If we believe that to pronounce the name correctly, or to get a blessing, or to hear from God, receive from God, talk to God, you have to pronounce the name correctly, that is magic. You believe in an incantation. Oh, well, I don't use Jesus anymore because that's a pagan name, or that's a whatever name. I only use Yeshua or Yahshua or Yehoshua or whatever other flavor of the week the pronunciation may be. That's an incantation. In some of us grew up in church where you pray for whatever you want and you slap "in Jesus' name" on it and God has to answer it because you quote unquote asked in his name. That is magic, ladies and gentlemen. We might as well all be sitting at a Ouija board contacting the spirits. We might as well be sitting in front of a book of spells and reciting incantations, because that's exactly what we've done. We have turned the name of God and the name of the Messiah into nothing more than a magic incantation, all the while rebuking any form of magic, any form of illusion, any form of witchcraft and sorcery and all of that. And yet we're doing the same thing that we rebuke others for, and that we hold up and that we point out as something that God hates. And yet we're doing the same thing. Is your father's name, your earthly father, is the summation of who he is a bunch of letters? Is the life that he's lived, can it be encapsulated in a formation of letters? If you go to the lawyer and you have a dispute over the will of your father, if your father's passed, may his memory be for a blessing. But if you and your brothers and sisters go and you go before the lawyers and you say, "Well, yeah, but I know how to say his name correctly." Does that matter? Who does a father leave his treasures to? The people that can say his name right? No, the people that he trusts to carry on his reputation, his character. So in this commandment, the word that is used in some translation is "take the name." Some is "bear the name." Different words are used to interpret this Hebrew word "nasa," which means to lift up. Think NASA, right? Up. Sorry, if you believe in a heliocentric or whatever. Anyway, off the topic. But "nasa," to lift up. Do not lift up the name of Adonai your God in vain. So to lift up, or to bear, to take upon yourself. Like Aaron was to bear the names of the children of Israel on the breastplate. So not to lift up, not to take, not to bear the name. The name is not a collection of letters. A collection of letters simply represents the character. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh represents the character of who God is. What's in a name? In a name, in my opinion, there are three main components to the name, especially to the name of Hashem. There is, number one, his character. His character. And I would say, even as a 2 or a 1B, put them on the side of each other. Character, reputation. You may say those two things may go together. They may, however you want to think about it. His character and his reputation. Thirdly, or secondly, however you're counting them, his authority. Lastly, his remembrance. The scripture talks about his name being a remembrance. As fathers, as parents, the only thing that we're going to leave on this earth when we pass on, when we go to sleep, when our soul, our spirit rather returns back to God. The only thing that we're going to leave behind, we may leave some inheritance, we may leave some money, but the most important thing we leave behind is a legacy through our children, or through those whose lives we've touched as children. Those lives that can reproduce what we were. That's what we leave behind. That's the most precious and powerful thing that we can leave behind, is will we be able to leave behind a legacy of what we were. Something that will go not only to this next generation, but the generation after them and the generation after them. Why do we revere our founding fathers of America so much? Is it the collection of letters in their name that we care about? Absolutely not. It's the character. It's the reputation. It's the authority that they had. And it's their remembrance that we admire and that we seek to hold up. So we have lifting up or bearing or taking the character, the reputation, the authority of Adonai, your God, in vain. In vain. What does that mean, in vain? Well, it's used a lot, so we can get a pretty good understanding of what the word really means. I'll just quote one verse, and you can do some extra study on this if you'd like. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 30, Hashem says, "In vain I struck your children. They took no correction. The sword devoured your prophets like a raging lion. In vain I struck your children." What he's calling the nation of Israel back to repentance. He's calling his people back to him. And what is he saying? He's saying, I'm giving you consequences. I'm punishing you in vain, for nothing, of no effect. It has no effect. Or at worst, it has an ill effect. And so the second commandment would tell us, do not lift up the name, the character, the reputation of Adonai, your God, for no effect. Don't say your gods and then act in a different way from his character. Don't claim to be one of his, and by our actions, by our words, by our attitudes, drag his name through the mud. For Adonai will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. We're going to come back to that last phrase in a little bit. Just a couple more verses that I want to read to you. So we saw that Aaron carried or wore this crown, is really what it the symbology is, on his forehead, Kadosh la Adonai, holy to Adonai, as the high priest, as God's representative to the people. In Deuteronomy 7:6, we have almost exactly the same phrase. For you are a holy people to Adonai, your God. You are Kadosh la Adonai. From all the peoples on the face of the earth, Adonai has chosen you to be his treasured people. Exodus 19, verses 4 through 6. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you out on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you listen closely to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all people, for all the earth is mine. So as for you, you will be to me a kingdom of Kohanim, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you are to speak to B'nai Israel. So in these few verses, what I want to tie together is, I want to ask you a question first. What do you put your name on? What do you label? You label with your name. You know, you put a piece of freezer tape or whatever and you put your name on it. What do you put your kids' names on? Stuff that they own, stuff that you own, yet you possess, right? To say, this is mine, nobody else take it. It's reserved for a particular person, for a particular reason. And so in these verses, we see Hashem putting his name on Aaron. And then in number 6, which we didn't read, we see him command Aaron to bless the nation with a commandment. And it literally says to put my name on them, to place my name on them. God is putting his name not only on Aaron as the Kohen Gadol, as the high priest, but to all the people. He was taking ownership of them by putting a big piece of freezer tape on them and writing in permanent marker, Kadosh la Adonai. Because you see, the whole nation, the firstborn, were supposed to represent him as priests. And so when they see Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, doing the services and going in and out of the holy place and in and out of the meeting place, the tent of meeting, Ohel Moed. They are supposed to see what they are supposed to be. They are supposed to be looking at a living and functioning, a physical representative of what they all are supposed to be. A kingdom of priests, of Kohanim, to the rest of the nations, to the rest of the world. This goes back to what I said earlier. When the world is falling apart, there is a remnant. There is a kingdom of priests. There is a remnant of people that have to bear his name, not by just saying the name right or not by saying in Jesus' name or in Yeshua's name. It has nothing to do with what we say or how we say or pronounce a name. It doesn't have anything to do with speech. It has everything to do with how we live. Are we making God look good in the midst of COVID-19? Ezekiel 36. Son of man, verse 17, when the house of Israel lived in their own land, they defiled it. How did they defile it, you ask? By their ways and by their deeds. Their way before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her nidah. You might be thinking about the verse that, oh, the church loves to quote so much. All of your righteousness is as filthy rags. Can I tell you that we've taken that completely out of context and it does not mean at all what we try to make it mean? This is what it means. By her ways, Israel was like a woman in her nidah. That's what the unclean rags are. Verse 18, so I poured out my fury on them. For the blood which they had shed upon the land, and because they had defiled it with their idols, I scattered them among the nations, so they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and their deeds, I judged them. Whenever they went among the nations, they profaned my holy name, because they pronounced it wrong. Since it was said about them, these are the people of Adonai, yet they had to leave his land. What does that statement mean? These are the people of Adonai, but they had to leave their land. What does that say? Not about them, but about him. That he's not able to keep them. He must not be a very powerful God, or else his children would serve him. His people would be loyal to him. They would do what's in his character to do. So it doesn't say anything about the people. This is about the reputation of God. I'll prove it. Verse 22, therefore say to the house of Israel, because, says Adonai Elohim, I do not do this for your sake, house of Israel, but for my holy reputation, my name, which you profaned among the nations wherever you went. I will sanctify my great reputation, my name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am Adonai. It is a declaration of Adonai when I am sanctified in you before their eyes. He is sanctified in us for everybody else's sake. How is God sanctified in us for everybody else's sake? When we act in his character, when we represent him. I said in a message week before last, everybody's wandering around going, where's God? Where's God in this? Where's God in this pandemonium and this whatever, pandemic and all these words we try to use? Where is God in this chaos? If people are asking, where is God in the midst of chaos? It's because His people have fallen down on the job. What do we expect? God to just manifest out of the clouds and everybody go, oh, look, there's God. No, God has chosen human partners. God is obsessed with working in this earth through human partners. Adam, Noah, Abraham, Joseph, the nation of Israel, King David, King Solomon, the prophets, Yeshua, the disciples. God is obsessed with having human partners that express his image and bear his character in this earth. Verse 24 says, I will take you from the nations and gather you out of all the countries and bring you back to your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean from all your uncleanness and from your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the stony heart from flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my ruach in you, Then I will cause you to walk in my ways, so you will keep my rulings and do them. Then you will live in the land I gave to your fathers, and you will be my people. So we love to quote this. And a new heart, and give a new heart, a heart of flesh. What is the purpose of that? It's not about us, ladies and gentlemen. That new heart, that heart of flesh has nothing to do with us. It's so that we will represent him and his character and who he is in this earth. In the second commandment, in verse 7 of Exodus 20, it says that he will not hold anyone blameless who carries his name in vain, who makes his name of no effect. He will not hold him guiltless, blameless. That sounds a lot like something we hear in the New Testament. What we've called traditionally the unpardonable sin. What is the unpardonable sin? Well, it's grieving the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean? What does that mean? I've asked this question for years. Nobody can give me an answer. It's when you don't do what God tells you. Okay. It's when you're not sensitive to the Spirit, when you don't receive the things of the Spirit. What does all that mean? That doesn't have any footing. You try to tell somebody that who's never heard, never been in a church service, never heard the teachings of the Bible, you try to tell them that, you think they're going to know what that means? What does it mean? What is the Holy Spirit? Now, I might step on some of your theology here, but I'm just going to put this in a way that is in continuity with what we've talking about. You ever heard somebody say, well, he's his daddy's son. He's got the same spirit in him. She's got the same spirit as her mama. Oh, he's got grandpa's spirit. What does that mean? Does that mean that there's this thing floating around that came from grandpa or came from dad or mom that attaches itself or puts itself in? No, it's about their character. They are in the likeness of. So the Holy Spirit, we can talk about in a lot of different ways, and there's a lot there to talk about. But for this discussion today, the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit, in my mind, in this context, is we grieve the Holy Spirit, we blaspheme the Holy Spirit when we act in a way that is counter to the character of God, which is the same as the second commandment. Do not carry the name, the reputation, the character of the Lord your God for uselessness, for no effect, because God will not hold anyone guiltless who does that. It's the same, and in Ezekiel ties it back together, and he says, because of my namesake, for my reputation, I'll put my spirit in you so that you can show people how great is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Matthew 6, I'm going to try to get through these last few in the time we have left. Matthew 6, Yeshua is teaching his disciples how to pray, and he says, therefore pray in this way, our Father in the heavens, sanctified be your name. Now, what happened in Ezekiel? They desecrated his name. How? By how they acted among the nations, in their land and then among the nations. They acted contrary to his character. They drug his reputation through the mud. And so Yeshua, the last Adam, says, this is how you're to approach God. Our Father, who is in heaven, we stand ready to act in according to your name, in according to your character. We stand ready to sanctify your name, to bring your name back to the glory so that everyone will know who you are. We stand ready to represent you properly. Sanctified be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. People won't know who our God is unless we do his will, the will of heaven here on this earth. Not up in heaven. No, we can't be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. We do it here and we reveal who he is. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is being quoted a lot right now. President calling for a national day of prayer. That's great. But how about a national day of repentance? How about a day of repentance where we turn from representing God in our own way and we represent him for the character which he shows us in his word? I pray these are some things that you can think about through the next day. We got a lot of time on our hands, folks. Maybe this time God is setting us aside and quarantining us, not for our own good, but maybe for his good. I pray that you're blessed the rest of this week. Shalom, shalom, as the Father draws you closer. Go out and be His image in this world.